if I told you that there was one super easy fast track to happiness, would you want to know what it was? Could you guess what it is? Gratitude. You guys are so smart. Yep. Unity, sure. Yeah, there are some others, aren't there, that are related to that. But it's true that gratitude raises up, uplifts our energy. It springs us to a high level of energy automatically by just simply taking a moment to take it in. The beauty of the world, some great color that you see, little blue patch of sky, somebody's smile, whatever it may be that you feel grateful for, to just stop to take a minute to take it in. It's quite simple, really. There have been all kinds of studies about happiness and gratitude, that our happiness quotient goes up, and it is over and over reported when people practice gratitude that's true. That there are all kinds of different ways in which we've seen that is true. So we think of gratitude as an emotion, and it certainly is a feeling. It certainly is something that moves through us and that we feel in the heart. And it also has a root in our mental attitude, as many spiritual qualities and aspects of the spiritual life do. So many of us have learned by now in our lives that our degree of happiness is not so much content or grounded on what happens to us in life, but what we make of what happens to us in life, right? It's all about how we think about it, how we perceive it, how we tell a story about it. And that's really kind of a key thing. You know, if we start out any sentence, any moment in time, and fill in the sentence, the story I'm telling myself right now is, we learn a lot, right? Because if we don't stop to do that, we become the story, right? We become entrenched with the story. Our identity is completely wrapped in that story. I mean, we tell stories all the time, right? Michael Singer, the author, talks about this ongoing monologue that we have inside of us as our inner roommate. Anybody live with an inner roommate? Yeah. So that inner roommate seems to have a lot to say, and the inner roommate loves to spin a story, loves to tell a really good, juicy, dramatic story, and then add to it and gather the evidence, you know? You know the kind of stories I'm talking about, right? Anybody ever watch the little dots and you're waiting for a text? You think somebody's texting you back? And then it stops? And then you go, And then it starts again? And then it stops and it's total silence. Ever make a story up about that? We make stories up about everything. So it's just really wonderful to have some humor about it. This can bring some gratitude, right? But also to just stop and look and fill in that sentence. The story I'm telling myself right now is, because once we do that, we've moved into the witness chair. We've separated ourselves from the entrenchment of the story, and we can just kind of take a look and see. And then we might decide, hey, that story I've been telling myself, it doesn't make me feel very good. That one that's full of judgment and criticism and all this stuff about how I'm not enough or this person's not enough, it puts me down in the dumps. And so instead, maybe I could tell a different story in a different way and look for something worthy of giving thanks for. And pretty soon we can find another thing and another thing and another thing. And before you know it, we're not in that heavy energy anymore. We're in the bright light of the divine. I know it seems so simple that most of us go, yeah, but it's not really that easy, you know? Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah. Take it from somebody who's experienced it. Yeah. All of us, right? So what really helps is if we can say, what good is there? You know, what good is there in me? What good is there in the other? What good is there in the situation right now to appreciate? Anybody ever heard of appreciative inquiry? Yeah, some of you have. Maybe you've practiced it here some. It's often practiced in Unity, and organizations will look at appreciative inquiry as a way of improving themselves. But instead of focusing at what needs to be fixed or changed and improved, which is often the angle that we look at, we look instead at what is good, what really works well, what are our gifts and our strengths, and how can we build upon that? So it's not just for organizations, it can be applied to individuals, couples, families, whatever, you know. Just asking that, what are our gifts? What are we good at? What do we do really well? And how can we build on that? It doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to the things that might need to be tweaked or improved. It's just that we don't put our focus there. And when we don't put our focus there and we put our focus on what's right and what's working and what's to be appreciated, some of that other stuff just sort of takes care of itself. Because what we've done is we've raised up the energy, right? So we've raised up the energy and we're more emulating what the divine is in embodiment. When the divine is embodied, it looks like light, it looks like love, it looks like gratitude, it feels like joy. And that's really what Thanksgiving can bring us, is this opportunity to remember again, the great gift of a simple thank you. You know, looking for the good also brings us into the present moment, right? What is good here now? Jesus talked about that. He told the disciples, he said, you know, you're always talking about the harvest is so many months away. He's like, lift up your eyes. Look, the fields are ripe for harvest. And what he's saying is lift up your eyes and look for what is good among you. Look for what is ready and ripe for to be spoken into truth, to be enjoyed right now in this moment. Don't harbor about all the stuff that isn't working so well and shift to now, to this presence, to this power, to this gratitude. So, okay, so we're maybe already convinced, and maybe you all already were way convinced before you walked in, that gratitude's a good thing and it really works in our lives, right? So why in the world aren't we just giving thanks left and right and living in the vibration of gratitude all the time? Well, there actually are some human reasons why we tend to fall away from the practice. So here's a couple of them. You may or may not relate to all of them, but you might know somebody who you think might, if not you, right? We know how that works too, don't we? Boy, I wish my friend so-and-so could be here for this message. I got to make sure I send it to them. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah. There we are, huh? So here's some of the reasons. One is that to acknowledge that you have received something might mean that you may interpret that as you have to return the favor. So if I've been given to and I acknowledge that I've been given to, then I owe that person something, right? So there's this sort of idea that we owe somebody. And for some, particularly introverts among us, it can be kind of laborious to think I have to make yet another human connection. Now, if I scan this room, I can see the thought bubbles all over all the all the extroverts, and it says, why in the world would another human connection ever be a burden, right? And the introverts are saying amen. So just knowing that much, right, how different we can be in the ways that we show up in the world can be a big difference in how we might interpret the simple idea of a thank you, the simple idea of gratitude. Another thing is maybe giving a compliment or showing some appreciation might make us feel a little vulnerable to rejection. What if the person doesn't receive it? What if they don't like what I say? What if that, you know, anything we can tell ourselves about that. So then we just clam up, right? Better not take the chance. Or another possibility is that when we admit that we got something from somebody, it might touch upon the idea that we can't do everything for ourselves. And so it sort of blows a hole in that self-identity about the superhero who can do everything, right? and it opens us to the idea that we are, after all, dependent, that we need each other, that we do need some things. It's very much like our previous fall series, right, that we just finished recently, More Together Than Alone. That the truth is we are more together than alone, that as humans we are wired to be interdependent, like it or not. That's just how we are. And so sinking into that, allowing ourselves to be helped and to be a helper, you know, it's we are independent and dependent, but really mostly we are interdependent. And that that's something to just to be able to accept that is helps us go a long way in the process of raising our experience of happiness through allowing gratitude. So really underneath it all, what's really it whittles down to is that gratitude can be disarming. That gratitude opens us. It reveals us. It allows us to see and to be seen. And so it is in that we might have a little bit of a dance around it, even though we know how good it is. And whether this is touching upon something for yourself or someone that you know, here's some ideas and some ways that we can kind of move into more of the practice of gratitude that we know is so good for us. I mean, the studies say not only does it help people say that they experience more happiness in their life in general, but physically they feel stronger. People report that they feel more hopeful about the future, that they feel excited about their goals, that they feel better about the world, about their own lives. So, I mean, it has a lot of implication if we just simply practice gratitude. So the first step for some may be just to begin to practice in private. So then we don't have that dynamic with the other to worry about, right? So we just begin to maybe write down some things we're grateful for, which has been proven to be really helpful. Because that happiness elixir that gratitude is, it goes up even higher when we express it. So it's one thing to feel it, but it's a whole nother level, scientists say, or psychologists who have studied this say, when we express it, when we write it down or we speak it. So we could start with just writing it down, or maybe just, you know, speaking it to the divine in our prayers out loud, or speaking it in nature to the tree that you love, or to an animal at home. So this week, we got a foster dog. And oh man, that dog has blown my heart open already. So he has this wild, crazy mane of sparse hair. He's all of 12 pounds. He looks part Grinch, part monkey, part I'm not sure what, all these different combinations. He's got really big brown eyes. And he's been through a lot. We don't know the whole story, but we know enough to know he's been through a lot. And so when I hold, he gets really upset when he feels like he's going to be left, you know, like when I come to work, when we both go to work or, you know. And so when I hold him, you know, he doesn't whittle away, he doesn't try to wriggle away, but he like sinks totally in and his little snorty breathing gets really quiet. And so it's as if like there's this real receiving of the gratitude, right? That he's really able to receive it, it seems, and give it. And then when he eats, I'm sorry, I won't go on too long. I do want to tell you a lot of stories about him, but I'll just tell you this one. So he takes a little piece of kibble, and then he looks up and he munches, and he just like he nods, like, thank you. And then he takes another piece. I mean, yeah, I'm just totally smitten, obviously. So, but this is a way we can practice, right? With those that we, you know, we love our animals. And so you can begin to practice with just like giving all the gratitude to your animals, right? And feeling how it comes back to you so easily. And that might make it a little bit easier to move out into the world of humankind and start to express your gratitude out loud. I mean, really stretch yourself. Start to express it with strangers, you know, standing in an elevator, how much you love that person's skirt or their sweater or the color that they're wearing or their beautiful eyes or whatever. You know, really challenge yourself because that could be pretty uncomfortable, right? Here you are, you're having to wait for the floors to change and maybe they're going to think it's strange that you said that, you know. So, but that's one way that we can like really come out, if you will, with our gratitude. And we can, you know, just not worry so much about how somebody's going to react. That's a really key part, is to just give it over and to allow yourself to know, I've done my part. I don't have to have this exchange. I can just give over and know I've put good energy into the world. I've said something kind and loving to somebody. Whether or not they can receive it is really not any of our business. And so if we can come to that place, I think it becomes easier. We can also express our gratitude in gestures. It doesn't just have to be words. You know, a namaste can be very, you know, warm and connecting. Or just looking into somebody's eyes, or a smile, or a hug, or a touch. You know, we can say thank you in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it can be even more effective when it's without words. So just recognizing that there are many ways. And finally, that the giving and the receiving of gratitude, getting better at being givers and receivers, to give without an expectation of anything back, even a thank you. Now remember, I was raised, and I bet a lot of you were, with, you know, please and thank you is basic polite, you know, thing that you do, right? And I've come across people where I've done something for them and they haven't said thank you. And in the past, I was like, what's up with them? Like, why aren't they saying thank you? You know? And I've realized now, my heart has grown in compassion and understanding and acceptance that there are real blocks to gratitude for the reasons, many of the reasons we've touched on, and probably others. And so to allow that to just be without any need for anything back, any kind of acknowledgement, but simply a giving, just simply allowing. This is a practice that allows us to be really the divine in expression, right? It's an opportunity for us to be the divine, to give as the divine gives and gives and gives. You can't outgive God, they said, but it sure is fun to try, you know, to be that, yeah, that receptacle. So if we are a good giver, we can't really be a good giver if we're not also a good receiver, right? Because if we block the receiving, we're not really giving to the person who's wanting to give, right? We're blocking their gift. And so receiving is the other end of that, is the other important piece of that. On the giving end, you could try anonymous giving. That's a really wonderful way to get out of the need for acknowledgement, and you get to experience the whole thing. I gave anonymously one time, and I happened to overhear two people talking about the gift later. I gave some money, and I heard them talking about the gift in such like an excited way, and it was so fun to just witness it. And to hear also the expansion that was in the anonymity, because they were saying things like, our community is so generous. And then the other one was, you know, smiling and nodding and agreeing. And I thought, well, that's so much more powerful that they're walking away with the idea that our community is so generous than acknowledging one giver for their generosity. And so it actually has an ability to open us up to even a greater level of gratitude. So I want to encourage you to do that. Give something anonymously this week. And then just have fun with knowing that somehow it got, you know, the blessing was received somewhere. And maybe you'll be lucky enough to overhear a conversation like I was, to be able to kind of witness that expansive gratitude. In the receiving, it's just a matter of letting it in, right? So you can say to yourself, kind of coach yourself, this is a divine gift. This is a gift from the divine. And I'm worthy to receive it. And so I just let it in. I completely receive without any defense, without any need to be defended. It's a gift directly from God. So if we can kind of do a little bit of that self story, that helps open us up to be better receivers. And if we're better receivers, we're better givers. And if we're better givers, we're better receivers. It's just sort of how prosperity works and generosity works. And we can't really pull apart and don't need to pull apart all these spiritual qualities because they all kind of come back into the same basket, don't they? Gratitude being one that is really an important one. And it also a practice, which I always love when we have one that has like concrete practice to it, because we can then really allow ourselves to step in. So with all this talk about gratitude, I just want to say how much I appreciate all of you. I went on a retreat last week, and when I came back, I was gushing about it, telling staff how wonderful it was, and best retreat ever, and it really was. It was really amazing. And Anne said, oh, I bet you didn't want to come back. And I said, oh no, quite the contrary. I really wanted to come back. I couldn't wait to come back. And actually, it's you know, I just want to say thank you, because this community, wow, it's so amazing. Do you know how amazing you are? Do you know how amazing it is what we offer to the world? That people can come here and they can heal in this space, that they can feel a sense of sanctuary here, that we offer a place for people to spiritually grow. Nothing could be closer to my own heart than to offer a place for people to spiritually grow, to learn, to evolve, and to give back into the world, to serve. That's why we're here. So thank you on a personal level. I mean, so many of my needs get met, you know, for teamwork and collaboration, my need for purpose and spiritual growth, my need for connection and love. And wow, I could go on, but I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being who you are, for being committed to this place, for coming here week after week or once every 20 years. It doesn't really matter. You know, it's great when you're here week after week, and it's okay if you come once every 20 years because you're a part of this family and you contribute to this family in your own way. And I am ever, ever so grateful to be here and to be walking this journey with you. So thank you so much for that.
You know,
so as we move out into this Thanksgiving week, I know we're going to bring all this joy, all this love, all this gratitude to our family members, to anybody who we might be spending Thanksgiving with, to the person on the street, to the people in the news, right? We're just going to spread that joy and that gratitude. Ah, see, yeah, I started to get you there. Just keep on pushing it out, right? And share and spread the joy and spread the gratitude everywhere we go. So what we'll do this week, we'll look for the good, express it, allow yourself to express it in some way, and then feel how it expands as you express it. And then repeat again, look for the good again, let yourself express it, feel how it expands, and then we could just do that over and over again. We're going to have to scrape everybody off the ceiling next week. Everyone's going to be so happy around here. We already were a pretty happy crowd, right? So let's close out with an affirmative statement together that we'll carry into our week, that we'll know as we give thanks that it is this joyful gift that we are giving into the world. Together, I give thanks as a joyful gift to myself and the world. So it is.